Good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, December 24th, 2006. Yes, this is Christmas Eve. And it's being sponsored by Ranch Acres Audiology in Tulsa. Call 918-749-7711 for all your hearing needs. Ranch Acres Audiology, where hearing is fashionable. You may reach us during our broadcast via Skype, internet phone. Dial Star of the Beast. That's one word, Star of the Beast, and it will ring directly to our studio. Or you may call via telephone at 918-447-1776. That's 918-447-1776, and a staff member will take your question. We will attempt to answer it while on the air. Otherwise, our email address is comments, that's plural, comments, at libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'll respond to your questions during the next broadcast. This station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you expect it to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. Folks, we must take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to us will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. Yes, this is Christmas Eve. I'm taking a break from the festivities because I do have a commitment to do this program every Sunday at 8:30, and if I don't, actually, we just have the same program playing for an entire week, which is, I think, much too long. Well, I hope everyone's having a nice holiday. I don't expect that many people to be listening in this evening, but for those who are there, thank you for being with me this evening. I'd like to start with a comment by General Mark Schisler, and he defines the war in Iraq as a generational war, and he says, Americans have to be ready to fight a war with radical Muslims that may last 50 to 100 years. That's amazing, isn't it? We are accustomed to wars lasting, on average, 2, 3, or 4 years. Could you imagine if we have to continue the struggle against Islamic terrorism for the next 50 or 100 years? Quite frankly, folks, I cannot even perceive what this place would be like, what our government would be like, how we would be governed, and what the outcome would be, what the financial burden would be. In fact, it's literally incomprehensible when you think now that the war is going to cost us minimally, and this is a cash outlay of about $500 billion if we stopped today, or real soon. They estimate the war, if it doesn't last too long, will cost between $1 and $2 trillion, and that does not include all of the peripheral cost of the war. Soldiers coming back injured, the hospital costs, long-term medical care, family problems, productivity problems, everything that goes with winding down a war and having everyone come back basically in worse shape than when they left. And I don't know how you put, I think the cost to that is immeasurable. You could imagine, instead of having it go on for 3 or 4 years, going on for 50 years. I have no idea what the cost would be. I mean, $10 quadrillion, it would drain us as a people, which tells us that we're probably not adhering to the Articles of War, which say that you don't do this. You know, the only time you go to war is when you absolutely have to. That means everything has been exhausted, all avenues have been exhausted, and the enemy is charging at your doorstep, and you better pick up arms quickly or you are going to die. If you are going to take the offensive, you must be guaranteed a very, very quick victory. Guaranteed a quick victory, not a summation, supposedly that we're going to have a victory, as we did in Iraq. Anyway, so that's a real problem. Tonight, the title of on our blog was Gay Marriage, Immigration, and the Draft. And I guess that's an odd combination. And what do all three of those have in common? There's got to be one thing that's in common, or I would not have addressed all three on my blog. Right? Now, think about it. In our Declaration of Independence, and I want to read something to you, something that we typically read in school when we're in grammar school and quickly forgotten. And it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men, and they used the word men, they meant everyone, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are a free country, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason why I picked on gay marriage, because that's a very divisive issue in America today. But if you look at it constitutionally, not religiously, constitutionally, why should anyone seek permission of the state to get married? In fact, I don't know what year it was, but earlier, in the 1900s, there was no such thing as a marriage license. People got together and decided that they'd live together and get married. If they were of religious persuasion, they went to their church and they had a religious ceremony. The state had nothing to do with it. This is a relatively recent regulation. In looking at our overall history. But why, if two people want to get married or live together, why does the state have anything to do with it? If a man and a woman meet and they are in love and they want to get married, why do they need permission of the state? What value does that add to it? Does the state then condone that marriage? Does the state then say, well, let's see, let me check to see if you guys are compatible. Well, you're about the same height, the same weight, looks like you're okay. No, the state has absolutely nothing to do with someone getting married. Having a marriage license is totally unconstitutional, in my opinion. In fact, in most states, people live together, they don't have a marriage license, and it's a common law marriage. And if they break up, if they've lived together for a long period of time and cohabitated and have the same address and all this other good stuff, you know, and they break up, it's as if they were married with a marriage license under the auspices of the state, right? So understand that the state is not a prerequisite to getting married. Never has been. If two people want to live together, they can live together. No marriage license. Common law. Or they can get married in their church, not get married, you know, with the blessing of the state, just get married in their church. But it's really interesting, why does the state have to condone a marriage? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. It goes way, way back. because they wanted to restrict certain types of marriages, which I will not go into now. But it's interesting that we need permission now of the state to get married. Now, in the Constitution says we are free to pursue happiness. That means that we are free to do what we want to do, what we feel is in our best interest, because we are a free people, and we are not the governed. We are the governing bodies of this country. And now we have a debate going on of whether or not gay marriage is permissible. And I'm saying, not a question, not an issue. If two women or two men want to live together and be a married couple, they live together, they're a married couple, they're pursuing their happiness. It has nothing to do with you, nor me, nor the state, nor the federal government, nor anybody else in the world. Most people would find that very objectionable from a religious point of view. Their religion will not tolerate that, because some religions consider homosexuality a sin. Well, fine. Then those people don't do that. But you'll find people, even of those religions now, are starting to accept homosexuality. And I think it was one of the largest congregations in California, and I believe it was the Presbyterian congregation, split in half over this issue. They actually now form two gigantic churches over this issue, over homosexual ministers in the church. So when you look at it, forget about the issue of whether or not you like it, you think it's sinful, or whether you think it's bad, or you know, it just turns your stomach. It makes no difference. We are a free people, and we can do what we want, provided it doesn't infringe on the rights of others. Right? So what does gay marriage have to do with immigration? Well, first of all, gay marriage is a rights issue. Immigration is a rights issue. Now, I read an article that was very interesting on immigration. It says, we consider the border, for example, between the United States and Mexico as our border. It's not our border. It's the border between two countries, and it's an arbitrary line. And by restricting people to come and go, we are restricting free trade. We set up arbitrary limits and consider everyone over that limit to be illegal in breaking the laws of the United States, and they're treated criminally. Well, I consider that a rights issue. If employers need people, and the only people who will do those jobs are people who risk their lives coming over the border, they should be able to fill those jobs. Like I said before, I had a three-part series on immigration. Immigration is not a problem. It is a solution looking for a problem. And we restrict the rights of others. When we say you cannot come over, and we restrict people, we are telling people in that country, you cannot leave your country. You see, we have rights, but remember, these rights are universal. They apply to everyone as individuals. Now, most governments don't recognize that. But if you're a libertarian and you think libertarian, you'll realize that if we apply the principles of freedom, they apply to everyone around the world, regardless of which country they're in. So if a person who lives in Mexico wants to take themselves and walk across the border in the heat of the summertime and risk their lives for a job so they can feed their family, I don't see a problem with that. Because in effect, we are inviting them. We are inviting them because we pay much more. And as I also said before, if you wanted to reduce the pressure of people coming over the border, do away with another sin of the United States, and that's the minimum wage. If we had no minimum wage, then employers can say, okay, Jose, right, we pay you 50 cents an hour. Jose would say, forget that, I'm going back. I can make 50 cents an hour in Mexico. I don't have to cross the border and risk my life for 50 cents an hour. Goodbye. Adios. Goodbye. I know that probably would not happen that way. But it's a rights issue. Gay marriage and immigration is a rights issue. The draft is a rights issue. We have a government, and we have had a government, that loves to wage war. And if the truth was known by the public, how these wars started, the Spanish-American War, including World War II, the attack on Pearl Harbor, and what we actually knew about it, the war on terror with the attack on 9/11, and the other wars that we almost, in effect, perpetrated some of them. And we sell them as false flags, what they call false flags. Something goes on overseas, and then we say, see what's happening there? We got to protect ourselves or protect our interests. And we all rally behind the saber rattling. Well, because our government has this track record that, quite frankly, as a citizen, we cannot trust. We should not allow the draft. Because the draft says, the government will trump up a war, and if they don't trump up a war, they'll push another nation, as we have pushed the people in the Middle East, to retaliate against us the only way they know how. In other words, poor policy is resulting in the war on terrorism. The end result is the politicians aren't going there, but they send our young men and women there to die. Now, if you are free to join the Army or Navy or Air Force and agree that you will go over there with a gun and you're going to fight, that's fine. That's a rights issue. You have the right to make that decision. But if I feel a war is unjust, I don't want to go. And I won't go. But if we have the draft, you don't have that issue. You don't have that right. You will go to war. Now, there are people. Now, the response to that or the retort to that is that many countries have mandatory military service. Everyone, man, woman, child, everyone goes into military service for 2 years. They're all issued a gun, and then they go home. Never to return, by the way. You know, to practice and whatever. Now, I don't agree with that, but those countries primarily, with the exception of Israel, countries primarily are doing it for defense. In other words, they are training their militia, their local militia. These countries don't get involved in war. They don't use war as a as an economic hedge. They don't pursue that for gain. They use other means. Although, and I don't particularly agree with that, but in those other countries, you know, it's not used for offensive use. It's used solely for defensive reasons. And remember, we have a Department of Defense. We do not have a Department of Offense. However, we are always on the offense. Vietnam was an offensive war. Iraq is an offensive war. Oh, we can pretend, you know, we had to go there to save the world and the people are garbage. It's offensive. We used to have a Department of War, but that sounded terrible. So we said, oh, Department of Defense. Who would not agree to for funds for defense? I mean, it sounds un-American. But if they had the Department of War, we'd say, no. We don't want to put money there because all you guys do want to go to war. And that's exactly what they do. So they call it the Department of Defense and they go to war anyway. My point being that gay marriage, immigration, and draft all have something very much in common. It limits the liberty of the people. And the one thing we do not understand, and I harp on this at every single radio station that I broadcast that I do, is that we do not comprehend at all. We do not understand what liberty is about. We have become subjects of a bureaucratic government. It's a monarchy now. There's no difference, very little difference, between what we have now and a monarchy. And if it wasn't for the internet, and if it wasn't for the freedom fighters that we have, and if it wasn't organizations that fight the government left and right every day, you know, we'd have no freedoms whatsoever. None. We'd be worse than Europe. So we have lost our concept. In fact, I understand that they don't even teach civics in grammar school anymore. Now, I don't know if that's true, but someone told me that. In other words, they're not harping on the subjects such as the three branches of government and how they operate, the separation of power, and the reason for it. They don't. That's not emphasized anymore. They emphasized that when I was in school. That was a long time ago. But the schools are government schools, and then they preach what they want the people to, what the kids to know. It's an indoctrination process. And we really grow up ignorant of the fact that we, the people, are the governors. And it's not the government that governs us. You know, it says here, this is beautiful, in this declaration of independence. It says here, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the laws of God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, you, we're out of here. Forget about it, guys. We're gone. We're history. No more. You know, this is secession. Goodbye. Don't want you anymore. And even in our Constitution, it's the Second Amendment, which talks about the right to bear arms and the right of a militia. Now, that was never intended so we can protect ourselves against the Red Chinese or the Russians or something like that. It was all intended to protect ourselves against an abusive government. It's a rights issue. We do not understand our rights at all. You can speak to the most intelligent person you know, and they will sound really good, but as soon as you talk about rights, they become very ignorant. In fact, they will support everything the government's doing in many cases, because it sounds good. They have no concept of their rights being lost. Gay marriage is a rights issue. It's a pursuit of happiness issue. I don't care which religion you are. I don't care. That makes no difference. It's not a religion. It's only a religious issue if, in fact, those people want to retain their membership in some sort of, in a religious institution which does not allow for gay marriage. That's a private thing. That's a choice that they make. That's a decision that particular denomination of religion makes. That's private. It has nothing to do with the public sector. Immigration. We should allow people to come in. We should have open borders. And we should have a free flow of people coming in and out. Now, we should have stations where people can register and whatever, so we don't have people with diseases and all this other good stuff. But we should, that's where we should spend our money, in controlling our borders. We shouldn't be building a fence around the United States. Remember the Statue of Liberty. Give us your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. I never hear that from politicians. You know what I hear?
We got to build a fence. We got to put more militia on the line. All that stupid garbage, which they can't do. They can't possibly do. At the cost of billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they still can't do it. And they can't do it because we invite the people in. We invite the people in because we don't have the people to work there. And we pay them good wages relative to what they get paid in Mexico. We are restricting trade. And we are saying, employer, you cannot hire someone unless you pay him this much. And if this person doesn't have these type of papers, you can't hire that person. And on the other side, you're telling another person, citizen or otherwise, you can't work there unless you get paid so much. If not, you'll go to jail with the employer. It's a rights issue. The draft is a rights issue. I grew up in the Vietnam era. I actually went to a Marine recruiting station. And my friend Joe from college, we both decided we were going to go in and join the Marines. And, stupid that we were at that age. And we were, I guess, at the time I was, 18 years old or 19 years old. And it's the first year of college. And we went to the recruiting office. And I think it was the one on Westchester Square. And we went in there, we filled out all the papers. And I was rejected. I was rejected because when I was young, I had an injury which caused a blackout. And they said because of that, they could not put me in uniform. It's interesting. I mean, I actually went to sign up. When my mother found out about that, she went berserk. But you see, that was voluntary. No one was telling me to do that. See, because I thought at the time I was doing the right thing. I thought at the time. And then after that, as I followed the war on and on, I realized how awful that would have been. I mean, what a bad decision that would have been. Because I would have been fighting an unjust war. The war became very unjust as I learned more and more about it. I was really stupid by going to the Marine Corps. But it was my choice. So you see, that's a freedom. That's a rights issue. Gay marriage, immigration, and the draft are all rights issues. And when we talk about these issues with friends, and I'm sure we do from time to time, let's not talk about this person said that and that person said this. That's all immaterial. What we really have to understand is, is this permissible in a free society, and does our Constitution allow it? If it's permissible in a free society, it doesn't affect anyone else. It's a personal issue. It's my pursuit of happiness. It's condoned in the Constitution, and I'm not breaking any laws. I can do it. And you know, not one politician ever takes that position. Or if they do take that position, we don't hear it. I'm sure there are some politicians who do. I'm sure, for example, Ron Paul, who's a representative, I believe, in Texas, takes that position. But he gets no airtime. But you hear from all the others who will say what sounds good, which is supportive of the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. They will get plenty of press time. And remember, every time they meet and they legislate, you lose a certain amount of your own rights. Because when they legislate something, they're restricting something. They're not opening the doors. They close the doors further. If they legislate gay marriage, if they legislate immigration, if they renew the draft, these are all rights issues, and our rights would have been dwindled down further. Can't go much further, I'll be honest with you. It can't go much further because most of our rights actually have been taken away from us, whether we like to believe that or not. With the Patriot Act, that was the beauty. Okay. Well, anyway, I'd like to thank... This is the end of today's broadcast. I was going to make this a short one. It was a short one. It was only 30 minutes. I'm so good. It's 29 and a half minutes, okay? So at the end of our broadcast, I did want to broadcast on Christmas Eve, although it's kind of strange. If I didn't, it would have been, you know, the only other time I could have done is Christmas Day, and then tomorrow we're going to have festivities, as most people will. So I figured I'd squeeze it in tonight, and I will be broadcasting again on Thursday morning. And I'm not certain what the subject would be, but please check my blog, and I will post it there probably tomorrow. I'm getting my stuff together. It's just the holidays. I'm a little bit behind with everything. Okay? So, and then I will be broadcasting also on New Year's Eve. And that'll be fun. I usually don't go out on New Year's Eve. I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. Okay? Okay, this is the end of tonight's broadcast. And we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And please direct your comments and questions to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please think about your liberty, think about your freedom, think about your rights. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.